Good afternoon and welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change and how today's choices will affect tomorrow's community. This program is an extension and production of Action for Healthy Communities and provided in collaboration with KCBX. It's made possible through underwriting by Joan Geller Sargent. I'm your host, Chris Kington Barker. In 1985, or 84, the founders of Access Support Network witnessed an urgent need in the community to provide advocacy and support for people living with HIV and AIDS. From that point on, the ASN has grown and adapted to the unique needs of the community. Today, we're going to be talking more about that program and the resources that they're being offered to San Luis Obispo and Monterey counties. My guests today are David Kilburn, Executive Director with ASN, Carla Quiroga. Mm-hmm. I knew I blew it. San Luis Obispo County Program Manager, and Andrea Johnson, Hep C, Health Education Educator and Phlebotomist. And we're going to be doing this show pre-recorded, so call-in won't be available, but I'm sure you'll be getting plenty of information. I want to thank all three of you for being here today. First, I want to start just with you, David, about a little bit about how this program got started and why it's unique.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you, Chris, for having us on today. We've been on before several years ago talking about hepatitis C. I think our program is quite unique. Back in 1999, we got a grant from to do a needs assessment in the community about hepatitis C and its impact in our community. And we saw that there really were few services available. So we got another grant from the California Endowment to start our hepatitis C programs. And over the years, we've been able to sustain these programs and have even gotten California Department of Public Health grants to identify barriers to testing and linkage to care for people living with hepatitis C. So first of all, I'd like to talk a little bit about what hepatitis C is. Hepatitis C is a virus that causes inflammation of the liver. There are many forms of hepatitis viruses. There's A and B that have vaccinations. Hepatitis C does not have a vaccine. So it's a slow progressing illness that can just sort of be undiagnosed for many years, but can lead to severe liver damage and disease and ultimately death. So hepatitis C is the leading cause of liver transplantation and liver cancer, mm-hmm. if not checked and identified. So part of our program at ASN is that we provide free hepatitis C rapid antibody testing, and we have on-site phlebotomy. Andrea is one of our phlebotomists, mm-hmm. so we can draw a lab to confirm the virus, because it should be known that about 25% of people will clear the virus on their own. So we need to test to see if the person is actually living with the virus and ultimately could benefit from treatment.
Can you tell if the person, you can tell from blood tests whether the person is able to clear the virus without any treatment?
Right. What we test for with a rapid finger stick is the antibodies for if you've been exposed to or contracted hepatitis C, you'll produce antibodies. So what the next test is an RNA test to check for the actual virus in somebody's system. So if they have the actual virus, then we would connect them to care in the community. And it should be known also that treatment is nothing what it used to be. Treatment could be up to a year with interferon, ribavirin, and that treatment alone was often disabling for people. But right now, things have changed so dramatically that treatment is once-a-day pill. Treatment can be as short as 8 weeks to 12 weeks, and we're actually seeing very high numbers of people being actually cured from the virus.
I can remember back to a time when I think the first big blitz about Hep C was when Winona Judd became infected and I think pulled herself out of performing for, she thought for the rest of her career because she was diagnosed with Hep C. And it was like, what is this? Why is this going on? A lot of people were not familiar with Hep C whatsoever. Can you talk a little bit about what Hep C is? Has it been around for quite a while and just now something that is being spread quite a bit? Or talk a little bit about the history of it.
Yeah, hepatitis C used to be known as non-A, non-B hepatitis. But back in the early 90s, it was identified as hepatitis C. So it's a bloodborne pathogen. It can be easily transmitted via, transfusions. The blood wasn't tested before 92 for hepatitis C. So there's a big risk factor with blood exposure back then. It can be also transmitted from razor blades and toothbrushes. So we really need to do a lot of education about potential previous risk factors for people. And the CDC is recommending that everybody have a one-time test for Hep C. It's not something that is standard in your typical physical for the year. It's so we're really trying to educate our community to ask your doctors if you've been tested and to initiate that test. And if people have any questions and want to call us, our contact information can be found at asn.org.
When you're talking about exposure and testing, at what age, if it's recommended that everybody be tested, is there an age at which everyone should be tested? Are you talking about children? Are you talking about adults, adolescents?
Right now, we're recommending anybody over, say, 14, we can test for hepatitis C. We've seen those baby boomers that they were recommending several years ago be tested. We're now seeing another spike on the graph of new infections that are within a younger population in the late teens and 20s. So we're really just saying across the board, everyone should be tested. And we can do education about potential risk factors and behaviors that could put somebody specifically at risk. And that's a lot of the target that we're reaching in our programs are those extremely high-risk behaviors, such as IV drug use and tattooing that's not in a professional setting. People who have been previously incarcerated are at specific risk also.
Those who experience homelessness as well.
Is that because of exposure to bloodborne pathogens?
Correct. Okay. Because the virus can live outside of the body. They're saying anywhere from about 7 days to 2 weeks.
That long?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when you're talking about things like, you mentioned toothbrushes, I mean, That's not normally what people would think in terms of a transmission.
Yeah, as Carla was stating, the hepatitis C virus is very sturdy and stable. It can live outside for great periods of time. So we definitely recommend if somebody is hepatitis C positive that they keep all of those personal hygiene items separate from their family or roommates.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking about razors not only for guys that are shaving their faces, mm-hmm. but for women that are shaving their legs or their arms. Or Right.
But what it should be noted that it's not transmissible by casual contact without, contact with blood. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be transmitted by sneezing or saliva, things like that.
It's blood to blood.
Can we talk a little bit about what some of the symptoms are? How do the symptoms present? If someone hasn't been tested, how would they even know that this is something that they could have?
It's interesting. Andrea and Carla can jump in here in a sec. It's kind of the silent killer, they say, because people really don't manifest a lot of symptoms other than fatigue, possible abdominal pain, but it's really a quiet disease for many years. Ultimately, people can start manifesting jaundice, which is a yellowing of the skin and eyes, or ascites, which is fluid accumulation in the belly. Those are often later on in the disease process. So
that's when it's pretty advanced.
Right. Mm-hmm. But the liver is pretty resilient, too. I mean, it will, like if we get people treated early and they have some scarring of the liver, mm-hmm. fibrosis, it's called, the liver will regenerate and cure and fix itself, mm-hmm. ultimately, if we can stop the progression before it gets to end-stage liver disease or cirrhosis.
And because, you know, the symptoms can really range and they can be very mild, it's really difficult to say that, you know, that's attributed to Hep C. And so it's really important that we encourage people to get screened at least once. And a lot of what we do when we go out into the community as we test is we really learn about what risk factors they may have and encourage them to get screened. Because sometimes people will say, like, I don't have it. You know, I know that I don't have it. Well, we talk to them about, you know, what exposure they may have had in the past and encourage them to get tested so they have that information.
And the exposure could be 30, 40 years ago, mm-hmm. too, often. So, you know, people think they forget about things they may have experimented in college or in high school or something. So we really try to just that once-in-a-lifetime testing for people that don't perceive themselves to be at risk.
Now, they could have, if you're talking about baby boomers, too, they could have also had it transmitted through transfusions before the day of screening out.
Correct.
Even Hep B in transfusions, correct?
Correct.
So if it isn't really demonstrating symptoms, the biggest risk initially is that person is a transmitter to other people.
Correct. If they have not cleared the virus on their own, if they're actually living with the virus.
So if the person is, during the time that they have the virus and they're clearing the virus on their own, are they transmitting?
They could potentially.
They could. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so even if they are somebody who could clear the virus, what's that period of time typically?
That varies right now. I mean, we're finding people that we're identifying that may have a very low viral load, we call it, when we check for the actual virus with the RNA. So if it's extremely low at that point, we may wait and do another lab draw. Andrea would be doing that lab draw for us. Testing it again to see if they're in the process of clearing the virus. If, in fact, they still do have the virus after several months, then they would be referred to, referred back to the doctor for potential treatment.
Andrea, what is some of the resistance that people have to having the testing? I mean, if it's just really kind of a simple blood test, it doesn't seem like that's a huge deal.
Right. Well, oftentimes people don't want to be stuck with the needle.
Okay, there's that.
So there's that, even yeah. though it's just a finger stick. But I think just not wanting to know, they're scared. They don't know what the future holds. They're, you know, hesitant to talk about how they may have been exposed to it or contracted the virus. So I think it just goes into, you know, ASN as an agency just being there to support our clients and be there for them and know that it's okay, that there's a cure, that we can get through it together and that it's everything is going to be okay. So yeah. Just reassuring them. But yeah, most people are hesitant just, I think, from being scared and the unknown and not being educated on it.
Is there a lot of outreach that you do with the agency to try and educate people about the realities of it as opposed to the fear?
I mean, well, I'm always talking about it in general anyway,
yeah.
because it's what I do. But we do outreach when we are doing a testing event. We'll have information, you know, happy to talk to people about it that, you know, come and want to know more about it. I'm also there for phone calls or to stop by our agency and have people talk about it. I mean...
In addition, we've also been partnering with Drug and Alcohol, and mm-hmm. we do regular testing events at all of their sites. So they have Paso, Atascadero, San Luis Obispo, and Grover Beach. And so when we go and do a testing event at one of those sites, we bring our test counselors as well as a phlebotomist, and we provide education in almost like a not a classroom setting, but we present at their different groups, and we do an HIV 101 and a hepatitis C 101 to not only educate them, but to encourage them to test. And then we're also there to say, okay, you know, this is what a positive test might mean. These are the next steps. So we basically have a map, and they really kind of guide us on how fast they want to move or what customizable barriers that they have that we need to address. It's not a one size fits all.
Right. And in Monterey County, we do a lot of outreach into the Chinatown area and Dorothy's Place. We work with Door to Hope and a lot of different recovery centers in Monterey County. And our main office in Monterey County is at 340 Church Street, right across from the John Steinbeck Library. So we're available there. You can find our contact information at asn.org for both San Luis and Monterey County. We're soon going to be partnering with Chomp Hospital in mm-hmm. Monterey to do some testing with their mobile outreach van as well. Which we'll talk about mobile outreach vans coming up in a bit and the importance of them. So like we said, we try to meet clients where they are. We are working with a lot of our clients that are extremely at risk that are not traditionally connected to the healthcare system in both counties. So we found it very necessary to go to them to test them and ultimately to link them to care in the field. And we'll also talk a little bit about some of the approaches that we're using to reach people that are traditionally disconnected.
Yep. And we're going to do that in just a moment. The Access Support Network remains the sole community-based nonprofit organization in San Luis Obispo and Monterey counties, providing supportive services to residents living with HIV/AIDS and Hep C and their loved ones. My guests today, David Kilburn, Executive Director with ASN, Carla Quiroga, San Luis Obispo County Program Manager, and Andrea Johnson, Hep C Health Education Health Educator and Phlebotomist, are here to talk about how the agency strives to improve the quality of life and independence of its clients by providing support on an individual basis. This show has been pre-recorded, so we don't have a call-in today, but we do have a lot of information for you. So, David, I do want to talk a little bit about how this organization provides services differently than how other organizations provide services. And you kind of alluded to that through the outreach efforts.
Well, I think one of the main factors, and, you know, while there are wonderful agencies providing services, I think we're quite unique in that we really address specifically HIV and Hep C. We also provide wraparound services in both programs for access to the agency food pantries in both counties. We offer housing supports, benefits counseling, health education. So we want to make sure our clients, when they enter our doors, whether it be in Monterey or San Luis County, feel welcomed and mm-hmm. feel that there's no judgment. Whatever is presenting in their lives, our counselors are there to help them in a completely non-judgmental way. And we really work from a harm reduction model. We're not a sobriety-based program. We serve everyone equally and just find out what their specific needs are and how we can help them be empowered to improve their lives and live as healthy a lifestyle as they wish.
So you're really approaching it as a one-stop, and then you're looking at the whole social network and needs of the individual rather than just focused on that one specific medical model.
Right, because even though we identify them that way, that maybe our first encounter with them is providing a reactive result for perhaps hepatitis C, and they express that their goal is to get treatment, maybe they're living with other barriers, and so Andrea works hard and our other case managers work hard to understand what is it that is preventing you from meeting those goals that you've outlined for yourself, and how can we as an agency help you to remove those.
Can you give me an example of a situation that might be along those lines, a case where there would be barriers for someone?
I think through our recent CDPH, which is the California Department of Health Services grant, it was specifically designed to identify barriers to linking people to care.
Yeah.
And we really, that was the whole point of the grant. And I think what we found is all of the competing priorities mm-hmm. in somebody's life mm-hmm. where, you know, our initial thought was let's just get everybody into treatment. Well, if you are homeless and have nowhere to store your medications.
Mm-hmm. You don't have a telephone.
You don't have a telephone. You don't have transportation. I mean, there's many factors that we help support the clients in figuring out ways of access to mm-hmm. care. Mm-hmm. So it's not just writing a prescription for somebody. That may not be the initial need of that person.
So would you set those things up first before, for instance, if somebody were homeless, you would see about getting them into some kind of a housing situation first?
Not necessarily. I think it would just depend on what we were trying to really help them to access.
Yeah.
So just trying to think of some of the clients that we've worked with in the past, perhaps housing wasn't really what their main goal was. Perhaps it was, you know, accessing or resolving some of their benefits challenges. Mm-hmm. So it isn't always that we know what's best for them. We mm-hmm. really help, we really work with them to identify what they need. But I'm also thinking about as we entered into that demonstration project and the way we wrote for it, you know, it thinking back on it and where we are now, we kind of assume that once we provided with these answers to these barriers, that was going to be it. And they were just going to get access to treatment and no questions asked. It was going to be an easy process. But through it, we really learned that it isn't a linear movement. You know, yeah. It's much more a dance that we work with them and that it has a couple steps back. But, you know, progress is really different for each person. And so it's been a very, very interesting experience.
Is the medication available to anybody who needs it regardless of whether they have insurance or not?
There are programs available through the pharmaceutical companies if someone does not have insurance.
Okay.
Pretty much right now, we're able to get people insured, whether it be through CenCal or the Alliance for Healthcare in Monterey County.
So that's another thing that you help?
Right. We are an enrollment site, actually, for Covered California, okay. and we can enroll people in Medi-Cal. So that usually isn't a barrier. And what happened in the past, last couple of years, there was a requirement that someone had to have pretty much some level of advanced liver disease and impairment to be able to be eligible for medications. That was determined by what's called an F score or fibrosis score. And that's from 0 to 4 mm-hmm. level. And there was a requirement that to be eligible for medication, you had to have an F score of 2 or greater. Through statewide advocacy, we were able to get that requirement removed. So now anybody with hepatitis C can be treated through CenCal or private insurance. Mm-hmm. So that was a big deal. So
that's a huge difference.
Yeah, and I think one of the main things through our CDPH grant that we identified some of the barriers were simple things like we would provide somebody with a lab requisition and say, now go to the lab and get your labs drawn. Well, we found people not going to the lab, losing the lab requisition. You know, things happened. So that's when we were able to bring our on-site phlebotomy in and once again developing that under one roof strategy and philosophy. So we brought Andrea in. We have somebody that does a finger stick and tests, you know, reactive for antibodies. Andrea or Darian, another phlebotomist we have on site, is able to do a blood draw right then. So we don't lose people.
Yeah, so if somebody comes in, Andrea, and the counselors are talking with them and they decide, yes, this is something that I'm interested in, you're there right away to do a finger stick.
Yeah, so we would bring them in, just kind of get a little background on them, do a finger stick, see if their body has created antibodies because mm-hmm. it's been potentially exposed. And if they do come back reactive or preliminary positive, I would offer them a blood draw. I would encourage them.
And you can tell them right on the spot.
Right on the spot.
Okay.
Their results take 20 minutes.
Okay.
And then we just have them wait, and then we'll say, you know, you're reactive for Hep C. What I'd like to do now is draw your blood, send it to the lab, and see what the virus is doing. I mean, there's a 1 in 4 chance that you've cleared it on your own. If there is a viral load, we'll be able to tell if you need to go into treatment.
And during that 20 minutes that you're waiting for that fast screen to come back, mm-hmm. is that a time that you're also able to educate about?
For sure.
You know, Hep C mm-hmm. and talk about what it's not. Because, mm-hmm. you know, when we talk about HIV and Hep C, it always sounds like those two things are linked together. Is that part of the scare?
I mean, definitely, you know. We talk about harm reduction. We talk about how they were potentially exposed. And we go over all of those things and what, you know, I can do or we can do as an agency to help them.
So then you're talking with them about if this does come back positive, mm-hmm. these are the resources that are available and kind of reduce the terror,
yes,
if you will, about those kinds of issues.
Right. If we talk about how they can protect themselves going forward.
For the future, if they're not positive.
Right. We also talk to them about a window period because mm-hmm. it does take a specific amount of time for an antibody to develop in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to make
sure
that.
What is that?
So anywhere from 2 weeks to 3 months. So an antibody, the way that I describe it is whenever your body is exposed to an infection or a virus, your body's going to create these little guys called antibodies to fight that. So our testing specifically looks for HIV antibodies and Hep C antibodies. So,
And I think that's one of the things that we share with them also at that time is these tests don't tell us anything else other than the fact that at some point they were exposed to the virus. And I think it's really important that any type of interaction that we have with our clients or participants out in the community, that we are really trying to take the time to bring that information to them in hopes that, you know, they will share that information with anyone that they might be
in contact with.
Yeah, definitely, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris, going back a little bit to our community partners that we work with.
Yeah.
In Monterey County, we have an incredible relationship with Natividad Hospital mm-hmm. right now, where their residents are cycling through our programs and learning about HIV and Hep C and our harm reduction approaches. And it's become part of the residents' training and curriculum.
That's great.
So we're trying to build a group of new providers in the community that are knowledgeable of our services and our service model. to really kind of give a new perspective of what street medicine can be, and how important it is to try to reach people that are traditionally disconnected from care. Yeah. And we're getting these young residents are really enthusiastic, and it's just exciting to see a new wave of future providers so interested in HIV and Hep C.
What do you have a sense of what the incidence of Hep C is in this county, and kind of where we are on the spectrum for Monterey County or San Luis County?
You know, not to minimize HIV in any sense, but hepatitis C is about four times as prevalent as HIV in our communities. Vastly underrepresented. So it's a huge population. Over the last several years that our program's been operating, we've served well over 2,000 people.
Wow.
And that's just people that have accessed our services through us.
Yeah.
That's, you know, a lot of people would be just dealing with their primary care provider and never needing our resources. So it's a very high prevalence in the community.
And this is, you know, this is not testing that is typically offered by primary care. It's not typically introduced.
Right. So that's what, you know, we're really trying to reach this population, like I said before, is that's not traditionally connected. So
you're reaching a higher risk community.
Yeah, we're prioritizing the highest risk right now, just to we're working out programs, the logistics of going into the jails in both counties as well as San Benito County to start testing inmates and provide resources upon their release to get them connected to care and resources. So that's kind of unique. Also, being able to go into the jail as a private nonprofit partnering with the county, and WellPath is the company that provides medical services in the jail. So it's a great partnership that we're developing right now. But the logistics of implementing that are a challenge, but it's
an eye-opening.
Yeah, but like in San Luis County, Christy Mulkern, who is the head of the jail's medical stuff for the county, has been phenomenal working with us and really excited to partner with us and develop those resources.
You talked about how there's a mobile service that's available in Monterey County that doesn't currently exist in San Luis Obispo County. Talk a little bit about how that allows Monterey County to do outreach that doesn't exist here.
Yeah, that's actually very limited right now. It's partnering with CHOMP Hospitals, where we will soon be able to offer testing. That's going to be very limited to their specific route,
right,
which will be great to partner. But what we're doing right now, I kind of jokingly say we kind of MacGyver it right now with a rented.
For those people that know what that
exactly
means.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
You are dating
the baby boomers. Okay. Well, David, look it up on YouTube. but what we're doing, because we don't have an actual dedicated van, mobile van, we are renting a
cargo van,
U-Haul van, and
outfitting it with tables and posters and slapping an ASN magnet on the outside.
You know, very creative.
But it gets our test, our certified test counselors to the people on site, if it's, you know, at a homeless encampment, if it's drug and alcohol services. So, you know, we do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
We kind of just put the pieces together and make it work.
And through the demonstration grant, and even through the subsequent grant that we've had, we've been able to really add more services to our van, which has been pretty amazing. So at first it was just testing folks, and then we were able to add the phlebotomy component to it, which was pretty amazing to be able to provide kind of an immediate next step for folks that we identified as reactive. And in the future, we may be able to do some telehealth out of it.
Do you find that a lot of the people who have the fast testing go on to get the full blood draw if the phlebotomist is available on site?
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. People want to get treatment, but what we've seen is eliminating those barriers to each step along the way is getting people into care. Carla was just alluding to telemedicine. What we've seen over the years is there are very few providers in our counties that provide hepatitis C treatment. And as a result, there are extremely long wait times to get an appointment. And there are often multiple requirements to be seen. And so what we've recently implemented is a pilot project where we're working with a doctor from Southern California who is providing telemedicine. And we are able to schedule people in to come into our office and via Zoom or video conferencing get treatment. So once again, under that same roof, we're able to eliminate what could be a 3-month wait time for an appointment and might take several appointments to get to be seen. And these are people, like I alluded to before, are maybe not comfortable in that traditional medical setting. Right. So we build trust with that patient. We eliminate all the barriers. We do phlebotomy on site. We do linkage to care on site and now treatment. And we've actually had our first patient receive his medication and starting
last week.
So, that's great. This is a pilot project. We're still working out how to make this more sustainable over time.
Yeah.
We're working with SenCal and the Alliance for Health to become a host site, which is for telemedicine. There are different requirements for that. But it's really the direction, I think, that is going to be needed to reach this hard-to-reach population.
I would assume, too, that with a more difficult-to-reach population, you're building a relationship, and there's a trust component or a comfort component with them knowing you, being able to come back to that place.
And I think that that's kind of what Andrea's gift has really been, is to build rapport with our clients and to build trust with them so that, as she says, come back and see me for this next step, they really have been having success with that. And it's really because this is her focus, is to spend really the time and energy to do the hand-holding, to really encourage them. And I think that it's really been the main factor that has brought about the success.
Yeah, and I think there have been some champions in the medical systems that have really helped us. And I'd like to really point out with the Alliance for Healthcare in Monterey, Dr. Nkwacha has been just phenomenal in taking the lead of bringing their federally qualified health centers to build a strong partnership with us. And there have been great inroads in developing these programs. And then, like I said, with Natividad Hospital, their residents coming through us, there's great opportunities right now. And bringing the care to our patients is incredible. I'd like to point out, talking about this model that we're doing, it's kind of flipping the traditional model on its head, to say the least. Because normally what happens is a patient is referred to a medical setting and they're established with a primary care physician. And then they're referred to a specialist for hep C treatment. What we're doing right now is piloting this and seeing if it works, that we connect people directly to the specialist. We get them treated for their hep C. They start feeling better. They're more engaged in their care. And then they're referred to the primary physician to deal with their other underlying medical conditions. So it's just the opposite of what the model is, but we're trying to demonstrate that this is actually going to be a cost saving ultimately by eliminating the expense of untreated hepatitis C.
Have you had enough experience with it to have some sense of whether or not this model is working with the populations you're serving?
Absolutely. We have seen people that, like I said, are active substance users that are coming in accessing naloxone, which is an opioid inhibitor, so to prevent overdose. They're building trust with us. There's no judgment. We're saying, yes, we know you're using. Please have this on you so you don't overdose, or your friend doesn't overdose. And then they're cured from Hep C. They start feeling better, clearer headed, and they're like, oh my God. And then they start addressing their other needs. Some have even sought treatment, and we in Monterey County are partnering with Door to Hope to do medical assisted treatment, or MAT, to support people if they are interested in recovery programs. So it's a point of entry of people really into potential recovery. That's not our goal. That would be the patient's goal. We would just assist them in meeting that goal.
Do clients go out and actually share information about their Hep C factor and refer friends in?
I think it's funny because we are so HIPAA compliant and protective of people's health
information. Yeah, I imagine you would have to be.
But on the other hand, the clients are
very open book.
overshare. And it's like, great. You know, go tell your friends that you've been able to access treatment through us quickly and are feeling better.
A lot of self-referrals. You were helping my
friend. Greg told me to come in.
Exactly.
And it's like, I don't know Greg.
Right.
Exactly. What you're talking about. But...
But welcome.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. You're listening to Central Coast Voices on KCBX, your public radio station from Salinas to Ventura, and streaming all around the world on the web at kcbx.org. I'm your host, Chris Kington Barker. My guests today are David Kilburn, Executive Director for the Access Support Network, Carla Quiroga, San Luis Obispo County Program Manager, and Andrea Johnson, Hep C Health Educator and Phlebotomist. Today's show is pre-recorded, and we're talking about ASN and the services it's providing for the communities of San Luis Obispo and Monterey counties. And so let's talk a little bit about a fundraiser that you've got coming up, because I don't want to miss an opportunity to do that. It's for a very specific reason, correct?
We need a van.
Well, yeah, I guess they want their U-Haul back at some point, right?
No, it's critical. And the services that we're providing, as we were saying, that we are renting these vans and spending the time to...
set them up and clean up. And we're hoping to have...
So each time you're renting a van, you set
event.
It up and put it all together, and you bolt...
put our magnets up.
You put poor Andrea in the back of it and drive around.
Yeah. But, you know, it works. But as we expand our outreach efforts, it's just critical that we have a van set up that's able to go on site as necessary. And we're looking at potentially, we start small. We're looking to do a fundraiser coming up on the 21st. That will help us purchase a van. And we thank KCBX for partnering with us in this fundraiser. Much appreciated. And we have, Carla can go into a little bit about the details. It's going to be a fun event.
Definitely. This is our first, we hope, annual. And so we're really hoping to build on it. But really the emphasis is to help us to be able to purchase this van that's really going to be customized to the mobile outreach that we need to be doing. Not only is it helping us to test out in the community, but also to do the phlebotomy and down the road maybe ultrasounds and telemedicine.
Yeah.
But the event itself is being held at the Penny, which is a new venue in town. The owners are the folks from Sidecar. It's a really cool space. It's next to Tackins. And tickets are available on My805Tix, and it's being called the ASN Speakeasy.
And this sounds fun.
Yes, it is going to be fun. We're excited about, we'll have food from field to table, and we're going to have spirits from Central Coast Distillery, as well as the owner of Traffic Records, Manuel Barba, is going to be helping us with music for the event. And your very own Tyler Pratt is going to be emceeing, as well as, what else do we have going on?
We've got beer donated.
Oh, we have beer donated from Slow Brew. So we're hoping that friends and family will come and gather with us and imbibe and hand over some money.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun event. It's a great venue, as Carla was saying, the Penny. And it is, you know, that speakeasy theme. So if you have your 20s garb, dress up, not necessary, but we're trying to make this a fun event as a kickoff to do an annual event. We've moved things around. Normally this time of the year, we would be doing our annual AIDS walk, or Walk for Life.
Right.
We're moving that to the springtime, just trying to change things up a little bit. And we thought this would be a great opportunity to do a new signature dinner fundraiser, but make it fun. And a theme this year is that speakeasy. So
I have no doubt Tyler will be dressed up.
Yeah.
I would hope so. And I really want to thank Greg Perry here at KCBX, too, for helping us get some of this stuff laid out and being an integral part of the program development of this. So.
And what time is the fundraiser?
It's from 6 to 10 p.m. on Thursday, November 21st.
And the Penny is located on Marsh Street.
Mm-hmm.
Right next to Tackens.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great.
And the
great.
British car, in between Tackens and the British car. I wish I had the address on me right now, but that's okay. It's on our website, asn.org, or my
805-TIX.
T-I-X.
Okay. Fantastic. Yeah. So this is open to anyone.
Correct.
Do they need to be over 21?
They do, over 21. And tickets are $85.
Uh-huh. And what does that get you?
It includes a wonderful good time.
champagne and toast as well as delicious
dinner,
food.
Dessert.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And what else? Fun. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good times.
Fantastic. Well, let's talk a little bit more about what people can expect when they, where can they access you for ASN?
Mm-hmm. All that information is on our website, asn.org, but locally our main office in San Luis Obispo, our office in San Luis Obispo is at 1320 Napomo Street, and our office in Salinas is 340 Church Street, and we have office hours also at Ryan's Ranch in Monterey, Ryan Ranch Medical Center there. So that information is on our website as well.
Do people need to make an appointment before they come in?
It's encouraged, but no.
Okay.
That would be another barrier that we'd like to eliminate.
Yeah.
So, you know, if somebody comes in to be tested, there may be a short wait, but we'll get people right in. Most of our staff are certified by the state, certified test counselors for HIV and Hep C, which is a rigorous training.
Another barrier.
Another barrier, but we won't go into that one. But yeah, we have certified test counselors on site at each location always.
And anyone can self-refer to our agency as well. Just walk in and if they are already aware of their diagnosis and wanting to access services, they can just walk right in.
Do they need to have insurance?
No.
Okay.
But we will most likely get them enrolled in some insurance. And this is open enrollment right now. So we encourage people, if you are not insured, we are limiting our services of enrollment, like Covered California, to our HIV and Hep C clients right now, just because I have a lot of clients right now. But if you have Hep C and are considering treatment, it's really 8 to 12 weeks cure, 95-98% of the people can be cured. So give us a call if you need information.
It used to be that the treatment was pretty uncomfortable.
Oh, to say the least.
Yeah.
It included interferon injections, ribavirin, and often the treatment itself was disabling and people would have to stop working just to go through the treatment.
And when did that flip?
A few years ago, when the direct-acting antivirals came on board, we were able to eliminate the interferon. It's been really a game changer. People, minimal side effects. People are, if anything, they say they're feeling better as they start treatment. They just are clear-headed and just feel better.
So they start feeling better when they start on the treatment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When people are coming in for your services or coming in for the testing, you talked about a lot of different services that you have at ASN. Can you kind of put out a list of the different services that might be available to people through you, or do they need to be enrolled in one of your programs, one of your pilot projects?
If they're a client, which means that they are living within Monterey County or San Luis Obispo mm-hmm. County or San Benito County, and they have an HIV or a Hep C diagnosis, they are eligible to become a client and access support regarding HIV and Hep C. The other thing, too, is we also do offer PrEP services.
So talk a little bit about that,
yeah,
too.
We can help people access PrEP, which is the pre-exposure prophylaxis to prevent an HIV infection. And so if anyone comes to our office and tests for HIV specifically, and they might be at risk in the future or they want to prevent an infection, they can take PrEP, which is one pill a day, and we can help them enroll in programs to pay for it as well as monitor the PrEP medication in their system.
Yeah. When did PrEP come available?
Actually, in 2012, it's only recently been there's more accessibility to PrEP right now and more knowledge of it. But we, in partnership with CAPSLO, the center, are offering PrEP. We can also, once again, under that one-stop model, one-roof model, is we also partner with Plush Care, which is telemedicine for PrEP. So if somebody comes in uninsured and wants PrEP, we can get them enrolled in Gilead is the company that produces PrEP. In the Gilead Assistance Program. If they have insurance and they have high copays, the PrEP Assistance Program, that we're the certified enrollment site for that program, can get them enrolled where their copays would be covered. If they're undocumented, we can get them covered for PrEP. Really, we can help eliminate any out-of-pocket expenses for people interested in PrEP.
On a scale of 1 to 10, where is your satisfaction level with people accessing PrEP, having awareness of it, and utilizing it when they should be?
I'd say part of what our challenge right now is really doing PrEP outreach and getting the mm-hmm. word out there for people really who would benefit from knowing about PrEP and also utilizing it. So we are really trying to get the word out there because we're not, you know, through our office seeing a lot of people accessing PrEP.
And it just seems as though if what you're saying, that you can get that underwritten or assist people with that, and it's something that can prevent people from
Contracting HIV.
I can't imagine if people are going to be in multiple relationships or in situations mm-hmm. that they could be exposed mm-hmm. through any kind of at-risk behavior yeah. that they wouldn't want to.
Sometimes it's, you know, not knowing the status of your partner.
Yeah.
Andrea was talking earlier about yeah. the window period. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes what we tell people is that, you know, perhaps their partner has told them that they are negative, but who knows when they were recently tested or whether they were in the window period themselves. And so it's mm-hmm. having an opportunity to provide that education as well to them.
Yeah. And one point that I'd like to make is we're seeing a pretty significant increase in the number of HIV cases that are being referred to us or that we're identifying in this last, especially this last year. Mm-hmm. And it's really across the board from younger population as young as 16 years mm-hmm. old. It's not just men who have sex with men. It's heterosexual, mm-hmm. Some IV drug use, but it's really across the board. There's no identifiable risk group. So that's a bit alarming. We haven't seen that in the past. Numbers this great. And I think that really comes with a younger generation that really didn't live through the 80s and didn't see the impact of HIV and AIDS.
And the devastation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, PrEP is wonderful to avoid HIV, but, you know, also just eliminating the stigma of HIV, you can live a normal lifespan and quality of life with appropriate medications. So I really encourage people, get tested, get to know your status of both HIV and Hep C, and we can help maneuver all the systems of healthcare and insurance and education on those.
Do you take the typical private insurance?
We don't take any insurance.
You don't take any insurance?
At this point, I should say.
Okay.
If we're able to become a telemedicine host site, we might be able to at some point. But no, all of our services are free.
Okay. And if someone is listening to this show and they're saying, you know, I'm not feeling really comfortable going to my private physician for testing, can they come to you?
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay.
Testing is free. Testing takes 20 minutes to get a result. We can provide health education, risk reduction, harm reduction, all kinds of education and support for people.
Okay. And finally, again, your website?
www.asn.org.
Okay. I want to thank my guest today, David Kilburn, Executive Director with Access Support Network, Carla Quiroga, San Luis Obispo County Program Manager, and Andrea Johnson, Hep C Health Educator and Phlebotomist. We've been talking about the Access Support Network, and please do, if you didn't hear this show in its entirety, you can log back onto our website at kcbx.org and listen to it at your leisure. Central Coast Voices has been sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities and the San Luis Obispo Community Foundation in collaboration with KCBX and made possible through underwriting by Joan Geller Sargent. I'm Chris Kington Parker. Thank you for listening to Central Coast Voices.